You would turn to Galatians chapter 6 as we'll look at this portion of God's holy word. Galatians 6 as we return to this book. And our scripture reading is going to be verses 1 through 10, but we're focusing on verses 7 to 10 this morning. Galatians 6, 1 through 10. After the reading of scripture, we'll sing together the Gloria Patri. Let us please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to his pleasure, to pleasure his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Paul is nearing the end of his letter, and he's explained all his main ideas, and we're in the middle of a series of closing exhortations, and at times it may seem like they're just kind of a hodgepodge of things he's pulling together, but there is one common element as we see them, as we see him working these out. It's all in the context of living the Christian life, having been justified by faith. How do we live as Christians in the battle that we're engaged in between the flesh and spirit? And he brings up a principle that's kind of woven in here as well, the principle of sowing and reaping. He's already been talking to us about killing the flesh and walking in the spirit and cultivating the fruit of the spirit, bearing one another's burdens. And now he gets into this key principle of sowing and reaping and how that affects our living. The principle is in verse 7, and then he expands on it a little bit in the verses around it. the proverbial statement at the end of verse 7, a man reaps what he sows, or whatever one sows, that will he also reap. This is a principle of order in our world. What you sow, you will reap. We can see it very clearly in agriculture. If a farmer wants to produce crops, he has to till the soil and he has to plant the seed. And the kind of crops that he wants to produce, he needs to plant that seed. And the abundance of the crop that he wants, he has to plant abundantly. So it's very clear there. But it also operates in the moral or the spiritual field. Sphere of our lives in the pursuit of holiness. Whatever we want to produce in our lives depends on what we're going to sow. If we sow to the flesh, we reap corruption. If we sow to the spirit, we reap eternal life. Puritan William Perkins kind of summarized the whole thought this way. There are two of seeds which men sow in this life, good and evil. Two kinds of sowers, spiritual men and carnal men. two sorts of ground in which the seed is sown, the flesh and the spirit, two sorts of harvests which men are to reap according to the seed, corruption and life. And it's the basic thought that actions bear consequences. What we do is going to result in certain things. And Paul's trying to hammer home this principle of sowing and reaping before he explains how we live it out and how it works by giving both a command and a statement. The command is, do not be deceived. And the problem of being deceived is very commonly talked about in Scripture. Paul in Ephesians urged the people, let no one deceive you with empty words. And we tend to deceive ourselves. Earlier in Galatians 6, the verse is, if a man thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. We deceive ourselves in the whole process of sowing and reaping. We think, well, if I do this, it's going to be all right. It's not going to hurt anyone. And we deceive ourselves, forgetting, no, there's a principle of sowing and reaping. And he warns us, God cannot be mocked. And the phrase, God cannot be mocked, is a very striking phrase. It's the idea of, comes from the word for nose. It's the idea of you can't turn your nose up at somebody, or we might say, you can't thumb your nose at God. And so Paul, in underscoring the significance and the importance of the principle of sowing and weeping, says, don't deceive yourself as though you can get away from this. Don't thumb your nose at God. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Whatever the harvest is going to be. What determines the harvest is not the one's reaping, but it's the one sowing. Whatever you sow, you will also reap. So then in verse 8, he explains the key area, the path of Christian obedience that he's focusing on particular. And there's one other application here in a minute, but it's in the sphere of our personal discipline of holiness. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Whatever we sow to, from that we will also reap. There's an old saying, sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. And the two kinds of sowing that he contrasts, the one is sowing to the flesh. He's already talked about our passions and desires and the whole passage back into chapter 5 and the battle, the killing of the flesh that we're to undergo. And here he uses a different image, not warfare, but sowing, reaping, farming. If we sow to the flesh, if we cultivate the attitudes of the flesh, if we sow to the passion desires of the flesh, we're going to reap the works of the flesh. As John Stott writes, every time we allow our mind to harbor a grudge or nurse a grievance or entertain an impure fantasy or wallow in self-pity, we're sowing to the flesh. Every time we linger in bad company whose insidious influence we know we cannot resist, every time we lie in bed when we ought to be up and praying, every time we read pornographic literature, every time we take a risk which strains our self-control, we are sowing to the flesh. And if you're sowing to the flesh, you will not reap holiness. The other kind of sowing that he gives here is sowing to the Spirit. Again, it's cultivating and the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, patience, kindness, self-control. Sowing to that, cultivating that. Setting our mind on the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, setting our things on the things that are above and not the things on the earth. It's to watch the books we read, the recreations we're involved in, the company we keep, the disciplines of spiritual disciplines of our life, being with God's people and worshiping on the Lord's Day, all of these things are part of sowing to the Spirit. And if we sow to the Spirit, we're going to reap the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to reap blessing and spiritual fruit. And the two contrasted harvests, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap correction or corruption or destruction. And the word is the idea of decay. And the idea is of often a slow decay. And the idea of the harvest here, and this is really important, it's not just that what we do in life will ultimately either send us to hell or send us to heaven, be destruction or eternal life. But the idea is that what we sow in this life, we begin to experience it here and now. The decay begins now. On the contrary, the blessing begins now. The experience of life begins now. And I want to take you to a few different scriptures with the idea of what's happening within us. And they're not all specifically sowing and reaping, but I'm hoping it communicates an idea. Turn first to Habakkuk 3:16. We'll come back here to Galatians in a moment. But Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets, 3:16. Here the context is more of a dreadful, despairing message that Habakkuk was given. It's the message of destruction that's going to come on Israel, but he describes what happens within him because of this, that God was going to send this wicked nation to destroy Israel. In Habakkuk 3:16, he says, "I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones." He experienced in his heart already the destruction that was going to come. Turn to Psalm 38. Psalm 38, verse 3. Here it is the context of the wrath of God that's coming upon us because of our sin. But what is happening within us, even now, by sowing to the flesh? In Psalm 38, verse 3, it says, "Because of your wrath, there is no health in my body. My bones have no soundness because of my sin." Now, that's not talking about that he has cancer or that he has heart disease or that he has arthritis. It's not anything with that. What it's saying is, within his spirit, within his heart, there's decay. He's already experiencing in his spirit the destruction that he's sowing, that he's going to experience from sowing to the flesh. Turn to Proverbs. We'll have several verses in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. Again, it's the thought of what's happening within us. In Proverbs 12, verse 4, it says, "A wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones." Now, I almost hesitated to have you go to this passage because I have no interest in slamming wives today. Another day. The day I slam... The Bible does plenty of slamming husbands and wives for their problem, but this is the idea I'm trying to have you see, and that is we begin to experience now the decay that our bodies will physically experience forever. When we sow to the flesh, we experience now that decay. If we wonder why we don't have joy, why we don't have peace, why we don't have a contentment, it may be that we're sowing the wrong seed. And we're producing, therefore, the bad fruit. Stay in Proverbs, but go back to chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. And here he brings together two things. In Proverbs 3, verse 7 and 8, it says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil." So there's saying no to sowing the bad seed and yes to sowing the good seed. In verse 8, "This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." Again, it's not talking about physical disease. It's talking about what's happening in the spirit. And if we sow to the spirit, it will be bring us health and joy and nourishment. And we'll have that joy and that peace and that contentment and that cheerfulness of heart, even in the midst of difficulty. One final passage, working our way back to the New Testament, turn to 2 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians 4, 16. And here's where it puts together, has nothing to do with cancer, has everything to do with what's happening within. It says, "Therefore we do not lose heart," 2 Corinthians 4:16, "therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away." There's the cancer. Outwardly we're wasting away, but inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And you can turn back to Galatians. That's the fruit. That's the harvest of sowing and reaping. We're, if we sow to the Spirit, we're being renewed day by day. So even though we have that disease or we have that arthritis or that ache and that pain or that problem in our life, within we have love, we have joy, and we have peace, and we have gentleness and patience and kindness and self-control. What you sow, you will reap. What are you sowing? Now, the tension that comes to us in our minds is we know salvation is by grace. And so I want to be sure to mention this. We know Paul says, "You are saved by grace through faith, and this not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast." Paul's not contradicting himself. Then when he comes, "If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap eternal life." The tension that we often feel is the tension between God's sovereign mercy and salvation by grace alone, and yet our responsibility to walk in the newness of life that we have in Jesus Christ. And both are true. And both are taught in Scripture. The old Reformation slogan, "We are saved by faith alone, but not by a faith that is alone." So what Paul's doing here, he's not saying you're saved, he's not saying you're earning eternal life by your works. But what he's saying is, if you're a Christian, living out the Christian life, you're responsible. You're involved in the sowing and the reaping, and you experience now the root of that peace and that joy which you will know in fullness and richness forevermore. Well, he extends this from personal holiness on to works of charity for one another in verse 9. He says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." He's encouraging us, the sowing and the reaping, not so much now within our personal lives, but in the lives of those around us. You and I are sowing and reaping in one another and doing good toward one another. And he has to encourage us to not give up, because it's hard. It's tiring. It's hard enough to pursue holiness individually. It's hard always giving ourselves to serve one another, beginning at home, serve one another. You know, you're sitting in the chair, comfortable, and your family member says, "Dad, could you go get me?" And you want to say, well, there's the, could you go get me a glass of water? Well, there's the kitchen. The glasses are there. But there's the principle of sowing and reaping, the doing of good. And it's difficult. It's a struggle because we tend to get discouraged and tend to give up and lose heart because sometimes the harvesting of good, those good deeds in the lives of other people take a long time to bear fruit. And so Paul encourages us, don't give up, don't grow weary, be patient. There's two reasons to be patient. One is the certainty that there will indeed be a harvest. And the second thing is the encouragement is this is a part of your persevering. Keep up doing good for one another. The good deeds, a good summary of those good things we do for one another is Jesus interchanged with the wheat, with the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25. It's feeding one another. It's giving drink to those in need. It's comforting them. It's being with them. It's visiting them when they're sick. It's visiting them when they're in prison. It's clothing them when they're naked. And the difficulty is sometimes the harvest takes a long time in coming. And the encouragement is don't give up. I think of Francis and Arlena Mahaffey in the nearly 30 years they spent in Eritrea sowing the seed. And there were times they didn't see much. Occasionally they would see some fruit. But you don't give up. One of the supreme example of this idea of not persevering because harvest will come is something I came across in one of my readings. It comes from the life of a man named Luke Short. Luke Short lived in the colony of Virginia. So this is an old story. But he lived in the colony of Virginia. And Luke Short was converted at the ripe old age of 103, which is pretty astounding that he lived that long, and especially astounding that 103, God still could reach him. And the way it happened was that he was sitting under a hedge and he recalled a sermon that he had heard preached once by the great Puritan John Flavel. And God brought that sermon to mind to him, and there sitting under that hedge, he prayed to God that God would save him, and God saved this man at age 103. He lived 3 more years, and on his tombstone reads this, "Here lies a babe in grace, aged 3 years, who died according to nature, aged 106. But now this is the remarkable part of the story. That seems remarkable enough, but this is the remarkable part of the story. The sermon that Luke Short remembered he heard 85 years earlier. John Flavel was dead. He didn't see the fruit of that sermon, never anticipated it. Nearly a century later, the seed planted by that faithful minister of God's word bore fruit. Which is why Paul says, beloved, don't get weary or give up. There will be a harvest. Don't give up the sowing. There will be reaping. And then the final verse, and I'll just touch on this real quickly, is the idea that we are, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who belong to the family of believers or the household of faith. The good deeds we do for all, but especially the household of faith. Our charity, our deeds of kindness, we do indiscriminately. We do to all those around us as we have opportunity, as occasion presents itself, as God in His providence, there's kind of an urgency or at least an awareness that we have to redeem the time. We have to have our eyes open to the needs around us. But the top priority is our kindness toward one another. Your beloved brothers and sisters have a claim on your affections that the world around does not. And yet, we are to do good to all. It was one of those things that first century people marveled at Christians, because they not only met one another's needs, but they were willing to reach out and meet needs of those who hated them. And you and I are called to sow and to reap, to sow, because we know there will be a reaping of these good deeds in the lives of one another. And to not give up to as we have opportunity. And so you have this principle of sowing and reaping working in two different spheres. The sphere of our kindnesses and good deeds toward one another, which need to be a part of our lives, the sowing of seeds in the hearts and lives of one another, and the sowing and the reaping of sowing the seeds of godliness in our own lives. So the application is clear. What kind of seed are you sowing? Maybe you look at the fruit you're reaping. What kind of fruit are you reaping? Maybe there's a problem. If it's a bad fruit, there's a problem with the seed you're sowing. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap that decay. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life eternal. Not just ultimately, but even now. The experience of that love and that joy and that peace and that patience and kindness and self-control. May you and I be those who sow the good seed in the good soil and reap the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you so much for the richness of your wonderful love, your compassion and care, and how wonderfully that you provide for us in our lives. We thank you for the challenging words, the reminder of what we sow, we will also reap. May you make us to be a congregation of good sowers, and so that in our lives we would reap the good fruit unto everlasting life. May you encourage us never to give up or never to faint, and to walk in your ways. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn in your hymnals to hymn number 590, another hymn that's new to us, and we'll sing it to the familiar tune of Rock of Ages. It's our commitment to serve our Lord as we leave this place today. Hymn number 590, and let us please stand together as we sing. after the benediction, the choir will lead us in our thinking and closing worship. Beloved, receive the benediction of our Lord. May our Savior, who cheers each winding path we tread, who gives us grace for every trial and feeds us with his living bread, who gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak, may he grant you strength when you are weary and increase your power when you are weak. May he help you to stand firm, to let nothing move you, so that you will always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen.